and welcome to another edition of Ask Anything presented by Mosher Consulting. I'm your host, Angel Leon, Mosher's Director of Personnel. We're happy that you could join us for this episode of Ask Anything because today we're talking with one of our own, Nathan Reinert, Mosher's Director of Product Development within our Data and Analytics Division. Nathan's joining us to talk about how to get your AI project off the ground, how to dip your toes, if you will, on the AI pool. Nathan is Mosher Consulting's Director of Product Development within our Data and Analytics Division. He's a seasoned professional with over a decade of experience in the technology industry. His commitment to excellence has earned him a reputation as a trusted leader and innovator in the field. Nathan is passionate about helping organizations drive value from their data and is committed to delivering the highest level of quality and service to every client. He is eagerly looking forward to the opportunity to help your organization achieve its technology goals and drive sustainable growth for years to come. Let's welcome our guest, Nathan Reinert, to Ask Anything. How are you, Nathan?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great. Nathan is a repeat offender. We like repeat offenders here on Ask Anything, so it's good to have you back.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, so let's start with the basics on AI. So for somebody who wants to get their foot in the door of this AI revolution, I call it AI revolution. I think it's taking the world by storm. Yeah. What would be the easiest way to do that?
Yeah, it's a great question, really, and one I think a lot of organizations are struggling with. You know, is the boom of tools made available in the past year or so? It's kind of overwhelming, and people don't really know where to start, right? So there's ChatGPT, Hugging Face, BART, you know, where do we go? And you got leaders in organizations hearing from either their news or their peers or their leadership that they need to implement some form of AI in 2024. You know, this is the organizational goal. We're going to implement generative AI. But, you know, at the department level, you may struggle to consider how this actually fits into your goals, right? So organizationally, we have this goal to implement AI, but how do we implement that in our department and actually drive value from it? So, for example, you know, suppose I'm a customer services support manager in the manufacturing industry, and, you know, our global company creates home appliances. And let's say I have 300 persons in my team spread across the globe. It's hard to see maybe how generative AI really affects me and my division, right? It's like, how does creating content, whether that's images or writing, how's that going to help my team? Let's say here's a situation and I've been encouraged to implement this AI solution. And my boss has indicated that this is a key metric for this year. We know that the existing dashboards that leadership utilize to see how our department is running today, they're only updated daily. There's no ad hoc access. And that's a real struggle if they want to see how the team is doing intraday, just to see if there's any spikes in cases, things like that. And then additionally, technical resources are only available in English. So that's really a barrier to new service technicians, right? If we're a global company and wanting to bring on additional service techs, that's a barrier. So as far as point number two, wanting to utilize existing data, we have all our existing service desk data in Snowflake right now for the dashboard. So that's available. And also all of our documentation is available to our service techs already, right? So we already have this data. And the question is really, how do we use it?
So let me start by saying that you mentioned a bunch of tools that I'd never heard before. I mean, obviously we know the main one, right? The one that made its jump to fame, OpenAI, ChatGPT, you know, whatever you want to call it. But then you mentioned Bard. I know that Google's working on their own. Microsoft's got something down the pike that they already have built into some of their software that we commonly use as well. But then you mentioned something else and I'm like, what is that? I mean, obviously, you're too in the weeds in this kind of thing. I'm not. I mean, if I had to say the only thing I've used out of anything you mentioned was OpenAI. So can you tell us a little bit more about these tools? How does generative AI fit this problem?
Yeah, I think that's a really important question because we don't want to force a problem into the AI space when it's not an AI problem, right? So, but it turns out that this kind of problem where we have leadership that needs access to data in an ad hoc manner, and we have service techs that need access to documentation, that can be an AI problem, right? So there are tools available to us that would allow us to efficiently create a chat style prompt to interact with this data using tools that we're familiar with, right? So I think most everybody has utilized ChatGPT at this point. So it turns out that this is a great use case for generative AI because we can leverage these large language models to implement a solution like what we're used to using with ChatGPT, and it would give our executives access to the data. They can use what's called natural language processing to just ask a question of the data, you know, how many active cases are there right now? And it would return, you know, the answer for that. And it would also, at the same time, allow our technical resources access to the documents in a multilingual fashion out of the box. So there's no need to either rewrite the documentation in different languages or go through the process of generating our own model that would allow the conversion. The large language models do that out of the box for several different languages.
I think that's one of the most interesting ways to use generative AI. It's when you have a data set, and I don't know, I'm going to go with maybe an HR data set. So you have data about individuals, right? You know, you have their names, their position titles, their salary, their years of experience, et cetera. And it'd be interesting to see how you can take that data, put it in something like generative AI, and ask it questions to see what it can come up with. Like, let's say I want to do something like a succession plan. Like, I'm trying to think about ways that we can make sure that the company can keep running and that we have the right people in place. So I wonder how easy it would be for generative AI to basically take a prompt from the user and say, okay, if Larry has 10 years of experience and I'm really looking for somebody in 4 or 5 years that has this capacity that can do this type of role, could generative AI take that data and formulate an answer and kind of tell you, yeah, Larry would be a good fit for this because XYZ. And obviously you'd need more information than just name and business title, right? And employee title. But think about the possibilities. You can upload resumes. You can upload that those individuals' resumes, and then it can take that data along with what you have on the personnel side and basically just craft a answer that can give you an idea if Larry can actually be a leader down the road, given the decisions that he's made in the past and the positions that he's held, et cetera.
Yeah, 100%. I think that's a great use case for this kind of tech. And you're right about selecting the data is critical to get the answer you want, right? So one source that would make sense, like you said, is resumes. And we've talked to some clients about utilizing that kind of data for situations like you're talking about, or whether it's resource assignment. So if they have a new project coming up, trying to figure out what resources to assign to that project, stuff like that. You can also pull in if you have metrics on their training data. So if we know that they've got X, Y, and Z certifications, we can use that data in the model to try to figure out what a potential resume for a prospect might look like, right? Because you probably aren't going to find, nor do you want, a Larry clone, right? But
No.
if you can distill down the essence of what that role has filled historically, then you have the ability to more accurately comb through applicants or even write the job description, right?
Yeah,
So if
because
the job description hasn't been written in, you know, 15 years, then how do we go about doing that? That's kind of daunting, right? So, you know, dig through a bunch of documents, you dig through old sales, try to, you know, kind of just go from the hip with it, or you can provide this generative AI tech information like the resume, training data, maybe even sales that this person has worked on to try to figure out what it is that they did well, backfill the position that way.
Yeah, because that brings up something that I didn't say when I was coming up with my example is you can integrate that job description. You can probably tell it what you like that job description to look like 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road, because obviously positions evolve. Like what we're talking about right now, I mean, did you think 5, 6 years ago that we would be talking in 2024 about generative AI and how it can help, you know, get projects off the ground? I mean, we were
Yeah.
probably thinking about, you know, robots and other things, not necessarily
Yeah. Yeah,
writing
this
code
is
prompts.
yeah, this current iteration of AI, I certainly didn't see coming like this. And the biggest part that's shocking and impressive to me is how easily attainable it is for everybody, right? So
Right.
it's kind of what what brought on the whole topic of this podcast is just how easy it is to get up to speed really quickly with AI and make use of it in a meaningful way.
Yeah, it's fantastic. All, you know, where we've started, which I feel like when I say that, I feel like it should be 10 years ago, but it was probably less than a year and a half ago, to where we are now with not just ChatGPT, but like you mentioned, all the other tools that have been coming out recently and that are going to still come out, because every major tech giant is building something. And so it's going to be interesting to see how that fits into our everyday life. But let's talk about AI security, because I think that's something that it gets talked about. I mean, I've heard people in media and articles that I've read that talk about it, but it probably doesn't get as much attention as what the AI can do. I understand larger companies will allow you to add their chatbots without taking your data. Is this right? What else can you tell us?
Yeah. The security is a bit of a catch-22, right? Against the idea of, you know, rapid prototyping or how easily it is to enter the space. So I think to get the most value out of this tech, we need to bring our own data, right? So The example we talked about with Larry, and how do we write that job description? How do we search for that new employee to backfill that? The example with our service techs needing multilingual support for their documentation, all those require a base of knowledge, right? So we need a way to be confident that the data we provide to these LLMs is secure, because it could be personal PII biodemo data about Larry that we don't want out. It could be company confidential proprietary information, you know, that the service techs use that we don't want the public to know. So we need to be confident in that. And there are a few good options out there. We can implement Hugging Face or OpenAI GPT 2 and 3 locally on-prem. And that provides, you know, the security of being on-prem, but it also slows down our initial delivery, right? So if one of our metrics is to provide quick value to our stakeholders, then an on-prem solution may not be the best solution. And what's really exciting is Azure recently, I think about 6 months ago, partnered with OpenAI, and there's a service now in Azure where you can deploy an OpenAI ChatGPT model locally in your tenant and use your data against that LLM. So what that means, it's really exciting, is your data is no longer being sent somewhere, right? You're bringing the model to your data. So if you have data sitting up in ADLS storage, if you have SQL databases up there, if you have websites, internal websites running inside your tenant, all this can then be made available to that local OpenAI LLM running in your tenant, and data is no longer being sent to external parties. Kind of the asterisk on that, though, is that Microsoft does kind of withhold the right to monitor prompts you send to those LLMs just to scan for bad actors, right? So they're not using the data to refine the model. OpenAI is refining the model, right? They're just scanning for bad actors. And if you're in an industry where even the monitoring of prompts causes you to kind of question the security a little bit, you can fill out a form and request that they don't monitor those prompts. So they've even given you a way around that if you have business reason. So it's a really exciting service that Azure's providing that really checks a security box for us.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like it. And the fact that they give you actually an option to opt out of them really reviewing the prompts, because it's the prompts, right? I mean, it's what we chat, what we're typing up in the chat box, if you will.
Yeah, 100%. Thanks for the clarification on that. The prompts aren't necessarily the underlying data. It's the communication that you're having between the LLM and yourself. So it's like texting your buddy, right? It's that message that they're scanning to really see how you're using the service, right? To make sure that you're not doing something either illegal or that violates one of Azure's policies.
Again, I appreciate their thought and making sure that we are safe and secure on their end by people who might not necessarily be having the best intentions when they're using this kind of tool. But I certainly appreciate the fact that they gave you the opt-out, if so that way you don't feel like you're being looked at every prompt that you put in there. But let's talk about some tools. We kind of briefly touched on some of those earlier, but Let's start with Azure's OpenAI Playground, because I understand they have some neat tools at the disposal of its users that can make starting with AI a little bit easier. What can you tell us about these tools?
Yeah, the AI Playground is a really great addition in Azure. There's a lot of pieces out there. I highly recommend that users go out and give it a try. A couple that I think we should touch on today, though, at a high level, is that, like I mentioned, it allows you to deploy OpenAI models within your tenant. There's a variety of models out there. There's 3.5, 3.5 Turbo, 4, 4.32K, text embeddings, Whisper, several different models for several different use cases that you can deploy out there. There are two interfaces that are very interesting to me, and that is the chat playground. And this is what allows you to bring your own data. So if you have data for the use case where you have documentation that your service reps are using and you want them to be able to chat with it, one solution might be you upload that to ADLS, you point Azure AI Search to it, and that automatically does your embeddings, creates your vector stores, and then you can point this playground at that search index, and you can now ask questions of your data, right? So if you have, for instance, in our fictitious company, we're manufacturing ovens, and we have three different ovens, and they come with different colors, right? You have your white, black, and stainless steel, and the stainless steel has a different shipping requirement for some reason, right? And we need to look that up. We can ask that question, right? We can be like, model X, what are the shipping requirements for this? And it could pull that back. Another cool part about that, the bring your own data, is that through OpenAI Search, you can actually implement document level access controls. So if you have a multitude of documents out there in AI Search and some are sensitive in nature, you can flag them as such and have one interface for all your employees, but only some employees can access that secure information, right? Mm-hmm. So similar to like row-based access in a database, but it allows it to be implemented against AI. And then the other interface that's really cool is this completions playground. And it's a space where you can test out these models against different situations, right? So if you want to summarize an article, say, you know, you've went through and you've written an article for some HR conference, right? Maybe it's your presentation, right? So you have 12 pages of notes for your presentation, and you've been asked by marketing to create an abstract so they can put it on the website, right? So you can take your notes, load it up here, and say, summarize this thing, and consolidate, synthesize that a little bit. And you'll have to do some amount of editing after it, but it'll do a large portion of the work for you, right? So it can create that abstract for you.
Where was this 5 years ago or 10 years ago when I was doing my master's?
You read through your notes, you're like, I'll take this sentence and I'll take this sentence. And it never really sounds good when it's all put together, but this doesn't work like that, right? So it reads your document and then it augments it with generative text, right? So it's not taking portions of your notes. It's writing an abstract based off of your notes.
It's
wildly different than the way we've done things historically, right? And that's just a couple. The next is you can actually generate a job description. It's funny that you bring that up. So there's a tool in the completions playground that allows you to generate a job description.
I need this.
We can look at it later.
I need you to come here and give me a link. When we're done with this, just make sure to swing by my office. And
So it's hilarious. So I took a screenshot of like the drop down of all the options like 5 minutes before this, just so I could like rattle off a couple, and then you bring up job descriptions and it happens to be one. So yeah, we need to look at that.
I need a license. That's all I'm going to ask for. I just need one license. That's
Well, I don't know how we incorporate that question back in, but that's a great question because it's not licensing based, right? So a lot of these tools are licensing based and they're not cheap, but if you deploy your own like we have, then it's just usage, right? So there's not a, so yeah, we need to talk about that. And other cool use cases for developers would be that it can convert natural language to SQL or natural language to Python. It can explain SQL. So if you are maybe a student, right, and you're trying to learn code, You can drop it out here and it will explain what's going on in the code to you. So it's really impressive. And then it can also, this is a newer way to utilize this tool, but and it's being incorporated into Power BI, but it can generate insights for you. So if you give it a data set, it can assess what KPIs might be, key performance indicators might be on that data set, and it can generate insights off of that. Yeah.
Wow. Now we're talking. Now we're really going deep.
These two powerful interfaces that we've been talking about allow you to work with these different models and kind of create a proof of concept, right? So within these playgrounds, there's a ChatGPT style prompt that allows you to either interact with your data if you're doing the chat playground, or if you're doing the completions playground, interact with these different kind of pre-canned system prompts. And if you are satisfied with kind of the head start that you have, if you like where this POC is, you have the ability to select a drop down and copy the code that is behind this. So there's a portion of code that chains the AI search to the OpenAI model and kind of allows you to take that snippet and put it into a custom application. So you can design that and develop that for your either internal or external use. So you're no longer having to like look up the documentation for how to make these connections. They just give you the code right in the playground. Wow. It's extremely powerful.
Yeah, those are amazing new ways of making sure that you get your data where you want it to be and with insights. I had no idea that could give you that type of insight and information. I mean, it's amazing because those are the things that in business, right? That's what people are oftentimes looking for. KPIs, I mean, you know, you name it. It's wonderful. So before we wrap up, do you have any advice for those who might be thinking about using AI and haven't done so yet?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think the first step is to identify a low lift project that has some impact, right? So getting stakeholder buy-in is going to be important. So identifying a project, just like we would for anything that we wanted to get moving, right? Identify a project that, if successful, would get buy-in vertically. And then after that, just pursue it, right? There's tools out there. They're cost effective, especially at smaller scales, to just try it. So the Azure OpenAI Playground, it's not a per seat fee. It's all consumption based. So you don't have to worry about, you know, how many users are developing or how many users are trying it out, things like that. It's all consumption based. So there's not a per seat fee, so to speak. And then I think we tend to maybe try to over-architect things, at least initially, and kind of have this historical waterfall approach to development. And the way things are moving, specifically in the AI space, really require a more agile approach. So picking a smaller project or a large project, but picking a portion of it to implement today and just start working on it is going to provide much better results than trying to design this monolith, because the reality is the tech that you're designing that for is going to change before you're done designing it. Yeah. That's the pace that we're moving at right now. So I think what I would recommend is getting into a cloud partner that you currently use. And you know, Microsoft has some great tools that make it really easy to get up and going quickly.
And real quickly, because just a question that came to mind, if you're looking to implement something like that in your workspace, how long would that take? Like, is that a process that takes a long time, or is that something that you can just come in and have somebody like Mosher come in and kind of implement this for you and boom, you're done?
Yeah, that's a great question. It really depends on the scale of the project. And truthfully, identifying the project may take a significant portion of time, right? So, but once we identify the project, implementation's not going to take a long time. So you can see specifically out of the playground, those first POCs, those first few MVPs are going to be really rapidly delivered. So, you know, assuming we've checked those boxes at the beginning where, you know, there's stakeholder buy-in, the data's available, things like that, it's really amazing what can be done in a short amount of time to deliver an AI product.
Okay, well, there you have it. Nathan, it's been a pleasure to have you on Ask You Anything with us. Thank you very much for joining us. And we certainly wish you to come back to continue talking about AI, because this is one of those topics, as I've said before, that we can probably chat about a lot And tomorrow will be all news. So
Yes,
let's
sir.
keep
Thanks
it
for having me.
going.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you for listening in to this week's edition of Ask Anything presented by Moshe Consulting. We hope you enjoyed listening to Nathan Reiner talking to us about dipping your toes into AI. Join us next time when we continue to dive deeper with our resident experts and what they're currently working on. Remember to send us your ideas or topics via our social media feeds. In the meantime, please remember to give us a rating and subscribe to our feed wherever you get your podcasts. Until then, so long, everybody.